Pounding the Holy. I'm reminded of a poem by Francis Thompson, a fellow who really achieved fame in spite of all his failings, for he was addicted to opium, and eventually he died destitute. But he is known for a number of his poems that really touched a number of people, like J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, and Madeline D'Engle. Francis Thompson wrote a poem entitled The Hound of Heaven. And in this poem, the imagery behind it is of a dog on the chase after a person, as if after a fox or a rabbit, continually baying at their heels. The chase. It's a long poem, and I won't bore you with it. But the imagery is there of, well, God. For Francis Thompson was talking about how God never gives up. The meaning of the poem is understood as the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing nearer in the chase with unhurrying and unperturbed pace. So does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace. On the one hand, we have the picture of God hounding humanity. But you know, that's only half of the picture. In the Bible, there are significant figures who are called prophets. Prophets who stand in a peculiar position between heaven and earth, between God and God's people. And yes, the prophets speak for God to the people. But that is only part of the picture. For what the prophets speak is more than just mere prediction, which is one way in which we misunderstand prophecy. Another way we misunderstand prophecy is when we think of prophets as yelling at God's people all the time. That a prophet simply puts down. A prophet simply yells at the top of the voice. A prophet stands in the peculiar place of speaking for God. And as that Abraham Heschel, a great Hebrew scholar, once put it, the prophets are filled with passion. God's passion, God's pathos. You're filled with passion. And that very passion shakes them. Sometimes, yes, they yell. Other times, they cry. Other times, they just speak. They are so filled for God. But that is only part of the picture. For prophets, on the other hand, speak the passion of God's people back to God. It is a two-way street. Sometimes that crying back to God is a shout. Sometimes it is a question. This morning, in this morning's scripture, we have Abraham in sort of a prophet's role. For we see him in a different position than we saw him last week. If you recall from last week, here was Abraham sitting outside his tent by the oaks of Mamre, and along came those strangers. And those strangers, he welcomed, he just compelled them to come to his tent and share in his hospitality. And he was extravagant in his hospitality. Of course, there was more to the story than that, but it is a wonderful picture of something that was very much a part of the Torah of God, a responsibility for hospitality. In this scripture, eyes are turned in a different direction, and we see Abraham in a little bit of different role as God turns the eternal eye towards a place that is very wicked. Now, in relation to Sodom, I don't want to say all that much about it, but just please understand that sometimes we go to town with imagining the wickedness of this place. You know, it's sort of like the older brother of the prodigal son. You remember that story Jesus told? How that younger brother at one point asked for his inheritance and then he went off to a far country and wasted it on prodigal living. And that's all it said. Extravagant living. Jesus didn't go into detail. But later on, when the waiting father welcomes the prodigal son home and has a party and invites the older brother, we get a glimpse into the mind of the older brother who, in staying behind, has imagined all the sins of his brother because he mentions prostitutes and other things, which are not part of the story mentioned by Jesus. So likewise, we can go to town as we imagine the sins of others. And the caution, be careful. Be careful. What does it say? Remember, when you point a finger at someone, you've got three pointed back at you. Same is true of Sodom. We need to be a little bit careful when we apply this one. Now, in this story, we see the persistence of Abraham. Now, there's some things that we probably shouldn't get from the scripture, like, for instance, that divine mercy is a matter of arithmetic. That if only you could wheedle God down to a certain amount, then God will act. But prayer is not about arithmetic. It's a new kind of math, if you will. In this story, we have Abraham hounding the holy. Were you listening? At that particular point when those three strangers and God head towards Sodom, my translation said that Abraham remained standing before the Lord. I noticed that the Message puts it a little bit differently. I know it's a paraphrase, but I like what Eugene Peterson did with that. He said that Abraham stood in God's path, blocking his way. An interesting way of thinking about that. So that God could not continue on to Sodom. And there, he stood and knocked on God's door. Now think about what Jesus said about pleading. I purposely chose the paraphrase that I did in reading what Jesus said because it got across the point of a midnight encounter. You recall the story, what Jesus said. Jesus said, suppose you have a guest, a friend come and visit you at night. And you have nothing. Now, this is a story again about hospitality and what it calls of us. And this is in an era where then there are not 7-Elevens or overnight grocery stores. And you have nothing, and the people are famished, and you need to welcome them in, for they've had a long journey. And so you go to your neighbor's house to say, I don't have, can you lend? I will pay you back. You go and you knock, but it's not that kind of knocking. It's a pounding. And it just not once. I mean, can you picture this? You're standing there and you knock on the door and you keep knocking and you keep knocking and you keep knocking until the shutters upstairs kind of open and say, what do you want? And you tell them, it's like, oh, go home. Do you know what time it is? Slam. Pound, 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 pound. Are you still there? can't this wait? Do you understand? You woke my whole blasted family. Just go home. Slam. Pound, 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 pound. And Jesus says, eventually, your friend is going to get you what you need because you have been, what's the word? Persistent. Persistence is an important part of prayer. But also, please note, when we come to God, sometimes we come very mealy-mouthed. Sometimes we come to God as if God is just so, so great, and we are so, so puny that we don't have a right to, you know, to even say anything. When the truth is, God desires of us persistence in our faith. See, God is very passionate about the world. That's what the Bible says. God is very passionate about people. God is very passionate about justice and righteousness. God is very passionate when it comes to love, which is not some mealy-mouthed little thing, but love which is deep and wide and sometimes hard, though soft as well. God knocks on our door. God hounds us. And it's a two-way street. I invite you to step into that persistence. Jesus, in fact, gives us permission. In fact, encourages us to be pounding on heaven's doors, to hound the holy. I mean, yes, respectfully, but now I invite you also to think about that prayer which we have memorized and thus put in a little recess in our brains and not really thought about much after we stuck it right here. I'd like you to pull it out. Now, they say that memories are such, we can change memories. Whenever we pull a memory out, brain scientists say that we are actually, as whenever we remember it, we actually change a memory when we put it back. It is not like a computer which nobody presses the save button on and it goes back in however we brought it out. No, it's different than that. I'd like you to bring that prayer out and think about it for a minute. And I don't care whether you're thinking of Matthew's version or Luke's version. Have you ever thought of the Lord's Prayer as a very demanding prayer, if you will? Think about it for a minute. Our Father in heaven. Yes, I know you're there. You're not some distant imaginary God with a little G. You're not lost off in some nowhere land. But you're there. Holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. I'm reminding you of this as I am reminding myself of this. You ever thought how audacious it is to say, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not just in heaven, but on earth. Yes, there is that part of the prayer where we're kind of getting ourselves geared into God's kingdom vision, where we're kind of getting ourselves geared into God's will. We're seeking what God's will is and seeking to get behind God instead of getting in God's way. But there is that bit of pounding on God's door. Your kingdom come, bring it. Your will, may it be done, not just somewhere else, but here. Give us today, not tomorrow, not the next day, today, what we need, our daily bread. Are you hearing some audaciousness in this prayer? I hope so, because it is not a calm prayer, which is how we too often pray it. And that bit about forgiving. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. That's a pleading, that's a pounding on God's door. As Jesus said, you know, how much more God loves you than your neighbor does, who would shut his shutters on you. But there's also the reminder of how forgiveness is a two-way street. And then there's that, don't lead us to succumb to the trial. Life is full of difficulties. We know that. Help us not to give in to losing our faith as we face into all these things. Please, Lord, don't be just up there watching and judging up there, but get down into the fray. Don't lead us into temptation. Help us not to succumb to these trials. And Lord, not from some distant throne in some far off, far away. Deliver us from the struggles of today. Deliver us from evil. Part the waters today. Not just way back when, but today. For, and here's the reminder, because if you noticed when Abraham was coming before God, he was reminding God of some things. He was reminding himself of some things about God, but he was also being audacious enough to remind God of some things. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Have you ever thought about the Lord's Prayer in that way? I'd encourage you to do so. And I'd encourage you to pray it in an audacious way. Not just memorized. To be honest, I went back 3 years and I listened to when Sue Ellen Wheatley preached on this text when I was away with the youth going to NYC. And I heard what she had to say and how this prayer really stumps her, because she was hearing it rightly. It is a terribly audacious prayer. Even as a prayer, we can pray simply. Okay, earlier I invited you to use those sheets and maybe think about some things in relation to this prayer. What I would like to do in the moments that follow is that I will speak a phrase from it, and then leave a moment of silence for you in your own way to pray over that particular thing. And it may well be in some of these, as you think about certain situations, and I can think of some situations, that I really want to be pounding on God's door. I mean, to be honest, folks, forgive me, but I'm ticked off that one of our young brothers has cancer. Are you? That bothers me. It's not fair. There's a lot of other things that bother me. We need to bring those things to God, right? Okay, so as we pray, and I will lift up a phrase, and then you in your quiet way, just allow that phrase to move, and perhaps you have written some things down on your sheet. You turn to God in those moments, and you continue the prayer. Would you pray with me?